Welcome to Outtakes. I'm Laurie Baker. I'm excited to be doing a whole series of interviews this month featuring nominees for the 2017 Daytime Emmy Awards. To launch the series off, who better than Vincent Irizarry, nominated as Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series for his role as Deimos Kyriakos on Days of Our Lives. This is his fourth time being nominated for the Daytime Emmys, and he won the Daytime Emmy for Best Supporting Actor for his role as David Hayward on All My Children in 2009. So here he is talking about this round of the Daytime Emmys, Days of Our Lives, and more. So congratulations for your Daytime Emmy nomination as Outstanding Lead Actor for Deimos Kyriakos in Days of Our Lives. This is your fourth nomination. If you win, it's going to be your second win. Do you ever get used to this?
No, you don't ever get used to this. I mean, unless you're somebody who's been nominated like 20 times, you know, no, you probably don't get used to it. You know, it's always a you know, really nice, pleasant honor when your peers select you to be in this category. I especially considering the work that I've had the opportunity to do on the show and that it's recognized, and it's, you know, it's a relatively new character, and for that to happen, it was really nice.
Was it a surprise? Where were you when you found out that you got the nomination?
I was at home, and I was on a phone call that was, I couldn't hang up. It was a long call that I had to make, and I didn't realize that the announcement was being made at that time, or else I may not have done it, because I was thinking the 3-hour difference, it was New York where it was being telecast. So I may have not planned to have that phone call at that time, but I was on the call and I couldn't hang up. And all of a sudden my phone kept beeping and beeping, like all these calls were coming in and tweets were coming in. I was getting notifications about that. And while I was on the phone, I looked on my computer to see what was going on, and I realized I was nominated. I was like, oh, okay. So that's how I found out. It was a nice, pleasant surprise. But I had, even Donna was calling me. She's called me like 3 times, and I couldn't pick up the phone because I couldn't hang up on this call that I was making. It was a very important call. So, it was crazy. So I finally was able to do that at some point.
Oh, that's a funny story. What scenes did you submit for the Emmy reel?
I submitted for the Emmy reel. Yeah, because the pre-nom reel was 4 minutes long, and that one I had to select portions of several. I did of 2 shows, and I selected the same shows for the extended reel. The more scenes from them, more from those. Even those scenes that I did select weren't edited down, or from the beginning or from the end, because you were allowed to do that as well for the 4-minute one. You couldn't cut within the scene and then paste it back together within the scene, but you could cut from either end, and that's what I had to do for the first one. But the second one, the shows that I selected from were the episode where Nicole tells Deimos at the docks that that Chloe had been lying to him about the baby, that she was carrying his baby, and then she'd switched the DNA. And at first, he's very excited that the realization that he's going to be a father, and then he comes to realize that Nicole knew about this for 2 months and didn't tell him, that she had lied to him and kept this from him. And that's where the conflict happened with us, and led us into a place where he didn't trust her. Those are really strong scenes because it had a real arc from the beginning to the end. And, you know, and obviously Ari is always fantastic in anything that she does. So they were really good scenes to put up there. And then the other ones were, it wasn't in chronological order, but those are the first ones I selected. The second set of scenes, I only took 2 scenes from this one show where Nicole shows up at Chloe's cabin believing that Deimos was dead, that he died at the riverbank, and that she was the one that was being charged with it because Kate was framing her. She shows up at Chloe's cabin and sees me for the first time, realizes I'm alive. And the scenes that I selected from that were towards the end of the episode where I'm challenging her to be honest about her feelings for me, that I let her know that I was very well aware of the fact that she was working for Victor in the beginning to bring me down. But I saw a change in her, that I know I was there, I know her, and that she knows damn well that her feelings for me changed. And I just want her to be honest with me about her real feelings. those were the scenes that I selected for that episode. And then I took one-minute moment from an episode with me playing piano when Nicole wakes up after her first night of making love. She wakes up listening to me playing Beethoven's Fur Elise. And there's no dialogue. She wakes up, she comes over to the piano, and I'm playing the piano, and she comes and sits next to me, and then she rests her head on my shoulder while I'm playing. And it was just a nice, it kind of, the way that I constructed the reel was that it took the viewer on a journey with these two characters, you know? That's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fragmented, and even though the chronology was different from what had aired, a viewer that didn't know the show would not know that from this. It worked, and I just wanted it to take for these two characters the journey that they went through together. What it was, and at the end you see them together and she puts her head on his shoulders after they made love, and so it was kind
of
cool.
You play piano all of your life, and the character of Deimos played the piano quite a bit in his run. How does it feel to be able to use that experience as part of this reel and as part of this character?
Yeah, you know, I really wanted to have something from that piano. I love that element that they introduced into the character, and I attribute that to Ken Corday. He's also a musician. When he found out that I went to Berklee College of Music and I played piano, he asked me would I be willing to play on the show, and I said to him, and this is the truth, I haven't played in years, and it's just one of those things that over the years I had pianos and I moved so much, and after a while getting rid of a piano is really tough. You know, it's really tough. Or that I'd leave them in cities with friends, and then I would never see them again. And it was like, you know, after a while of doing that, I stopped getting a piano. I have an electric piano, but it's, you know, it's like put away, and I, you know, take it out whenever I want to play it. So I wasn't doing that as much. And over the last few years, I just have not been playing. So when he asked me that, I said, sure, I'd be happy to, but you have to give me a good amount of notice, because don't ask me to, like, learn a classical waltz, you know, within a week. And I said, just give me a good amount of time, at least a month, before that you know I'm going to be airing. So he did. They did. And the first thing that I played was Claire de Lune, and I had never played it before, so I had to learn that for it. That was the first piece that I played. And they gave me a good 4 or 5 weeks to learn it, which was great. And then it was like one after the next. I was doing a lot. I did that one. I did Eric Satie, Gymnopédies, like 2 days later. Then I did the main one that was like the Moonlight Sonata, that whole movement, which was the last act of that episode. It was over 5 minutes, and I had to do the whole thing live. I couldn't. It was not recorded and then played. I did it live on set with the crew and everything. And you can't make a mistake, because if you do, you have to go all the way back to the beginning. It worked out great. It worked out great. But yeah, it was really, for me, it was wonderful to be reinvited back and to reintroduced into that part of my life where I had been playing piano again, and to play these beautiful classical pieces. And that's why I really love that they introduced that into Deimos. And I just thought it gave him so much more texture, so much more depth. And I especially loved in the first year that I was on the show, the way Josh Griffith had created the role, that he was really multidimensional, and he had so many levels, and he wasn't just a villain. He wasn't that at all. He was seeking vengeance against his brother for a wrong that had been committed against him, and also the memory of the loss of the one woman that he loved, and that he had been denied a loving relationship for 30 years with a woman. So, of course, that was his link to his humanity, was the memory of Helena, you know, especially in a very harsh, cruel, male-dominated culture as a prison, you know, in a Greek prison, I can only imagine. So so that was important, that he had that. And to bring that element of him having that romantic quality, too, and to be able to play these beautiful piano pieces of substance, of depth, that I felt was a reflection of his nature. I loved that. I loved bringing that into it, and I loved, again, having that reintroduced into my life again, so simultaneously. It was great.
Yeah, well, you know, absolutely. I'm thinking of the scenes that we saw Deimos play the piano, and he would court Nicole by playing the piano. That's what sort of drew her in.
Sure.
After they make love, we see the walls come down and kind of see Deimos as vulnerable, and then before he starts to poison people, he's he's also playing the piano while people are like dying, you know? So yeah, we see so many different levels and the piano is so tied into that. That was really cool.
That's true. Even with Kate coming back to the mansion, realizing that he's alive and that she walks in and he's playing Chopin, you know, Funeral March, you know, so in that regard, it was almost a weapon, you know, the music for him. But that also adds to the character, not only his intensity, but his scope and his understanding that the music, he understands, truly understands the meaning of these pieces, you know, of the depth of them, the emotional depth of them. For him to use that at that moment, I thought was great. I loved it. It was really funny doing that moment with her. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. So do you actually plan to attend the ceremony this year?
Yes. Yes, I do. I have every intention of doing that. Sure, why not? You know, I always enjoy going because I get to see all the actors and directors and producers I've worked with over 30 years. You know, I've been on 5 shows now, so I've worked with so many people, and it's the one time each year that we all get to come together, you know, and play with each other, and then, you know, celebrate with each other and reminisce, and it's really special. It's really special. So of course, yes, I will be there.
And this year probably for you will be a real treat because we were going to have the Agnes Nixon tribute at the Emmys that Susan Lucci will be part of, and that was a huge part of your career with All My Children, so that's going to be exciting.
Absolutely.
Too.
I'm so happy to be able to be there to celebrate in that woman. She's for me the true queen of daytime. And I feel so honored to have worked under her and to be part of her creative tapestry and creating that show. And it has such a significant role for so many years on that show with her. That one of the high points of my whole time on that show was actually doing scenes with her in the hospital. Towards the end, when we were leaving ABC, she came on the show and she was a patient in the hospital. And I had these beautiful scenes with her, and she was just magical on camera. She just had this quality that was so natural, and she's a storyteller. You know, she was a storyteller in every fiber of her being, and just even in between scenes, she'd be telling me these beautiful, wonderful stories about things from her life. And just then, when she starts acting, it all comes through too. She was just had this magical presence on camera, and I was transfixed watching her. I adored her. You know, I think the special thing about Agnes too, and this is what I've seen on the show, and she was an icon. You know, I everybody knew who Agnes Nixon was. But when I first met her, I was working on the set, and I was working, doing some scenes, and I saw this group of people in the background, behind the cameras, quietly in the back and everything. And I finished doing the scenes, and I'm walking by, and I noticed that it was Agnes. And it was the first time I'd seen her. She was there with these group of people. They were just visiting the set. She would do that occasionally, not very often, but occasionally people come as our guest. And she was such an unassuming person and presence. She was just so real and genuine, honest in her nature. And when I first met her and was introduced to her, I was like, oh my gosh, every person on this soundstage is here because of this woman. And yet she acted as if she was a visitor to the show. And I'm like, oh, this is her show, you know? It was something interesting, but that was her personality. You know, she didn't have any pretense about her at all. And I was very touched by that when I first met her because she was so genuine. But honestly, even when we go to the Emmys, the great majority of people that are going to be sitting in that audience that are part of the industry are here because of her. You know, that's the truth. So, you know, we all owe so much to her, so I'm happy that she's being honored. I was lobbying years ago to get her to get the Presidential Medal,
Kennedy Honors,
Kennedy Honors. I was lobbying for that years ago. I was writing to them and doing the whole thing because she deserved it, man. I mean, a career like that, telling stories for all these years. I really wanted her to be able to get that before she passed, but unfortunately it didn't happen. Sadly so.
Yeah. We saw a picture that you had posted this last week on Instagram of you at the poolside reading her book. Have you actually finished her book, her autobiography? How was
it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. She's a magical person. She was a magical person, and you see why. Everything about her life, her early years, the person that she became. I have so much respect for her. I have not finished the book. I'm like six chapters in, I think, right now. I've been very busy, so I have not been able to finish it, but I will. I will certainly finish it because it's worth reading. And it was great to get it. I got an advanced copy of it like about a week before it was put out. So very cool.
Very cool. Well, returning to Deimos just a bit, I just was curious.
Sure.
Would you say that your favorite storylines as Deimos were the ones you submitted for the reel? That was your favorite time as the character?
Oh, yeah. Without question.
Yeah.
Without question. It was really nice. When I first came on the show, I just loved how they kept developing the character. They kept finding more and more colors to him and more dimensions. It really always starts with a great backstory. And Josh and Beth came up with a wonderful, wonderful backstory for Deimos. That made sense, you know, and that even the audience, after getting over the fact of Maggie falling down the stairs, they could at least, empathize with his desire to get revenge against his brother for what he did. You know, once the story came out, I understood that Maggie is sort of a hallowed character. And it was like, once that happened, people were like, oh, I can't stand him. I can't believe what he did to her. It was an unintentional consequence. It wasn't, he didn't intend for her to fall down the stairs. But, he was putting his brother to the test, just like he was causing his brother to make a decision, a choice between love and power. And that's what he had done, his brother didn't give him that choice 30 years ago. So anyway, but that, not to rehash that one, relitigate that one. But it was kind of funny that everybody was freaking out because of Maggie. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is a tough one to get out of. But once the story came out and the audience started seeing what had happened, and then all of a sudden saw the turn that was happening with Deimos after the river and realizing he almost died, the scenes with Chloe were so important because everything he was questioning himself and his direction, the path of his life. For 30 years, he had been guided totally, entirely on seeking revenge, on wanting revenge against his brother, and rightfully so. I mean, 30 years of his life was denied. He was denied a family, denied love. He was denied, the pleasures and joys of freedom and life. And, these are things that he had yearned for, longed for, so I could understand why he would be that way. Played it, they wrote it beautifully. So I would say, without question, that was my favorite time working the character, and I had hoped that it would continue in that direction. Unfortunately, it did not. For reasons that are obvious, writers changed and they took it in a very different direction from the day they first started, which was, that was sad to see. Unfortunately, I'm just being honest with you. As an actor, it took a very multidimensional character that was exciting and fun to play that kept the audience on their toes, and it's okay to go back and forth between loving or like questioning whether you like a character. I don't mind that. Or even getting to the audience to empathize with you for things that you're doing that are rather nefarious. That's great to be able to get to that place. But then to take it and turn it into a sort of a stock, one-dimensional villain, that's not as fun to play. And, I really loved the depth of the character, and I was sorry to see them sort of veer away from that, sadly.
Yeah, well, as a viewer, I totally agree with you. I always enjoyed Deimos in the beginning because you knew what, where, even when, you know, you'd find out these horrible things that had happened, you knew where he was coming from. And they kind of, yeah,
right.
I agree with you. As the head writers changed, they lost sight of that. Now it's just, you know, Deimos the monster, you know. And it's just like where,
right.
you know, before we all knew who he was, where he came from, how he'd been messed over by Victor. And
right.
the events that led
yeah,
him
you know,
where
and
he
I,
is. So I totally
I know. And I honestly, this is the thing that producers on the show that were also really, they were integral in the development of the character with me. And I valued their view, their opinions of the character. And I had wonderful conversations with them as well during the development, the creation of the character. And I valued their notes because they were right on with it. You know, we were all in sync with each other. And, you know, it became obvious to all of us. I said that to one of the producers when it first started. I saw the change. I said, what's going on? It's like this is becoming really dark, and it's sort of one-dimensional now. We're losing the heart of the character. And what I loved about Deimos was that with the darkness that you had, he was also, at his core, a true romantic. He was. That was who he was, and even showed in the music he played, which was romantic classical music. He had that at his core. He wanted to experience true family. That's why he family after the river and invited them in and wanted to be a part of that. That's what he had been denied for 30 years. And I always knew, because I love the fact this is great. It's also a great backstory, part of the backstory, is that Deimos was the bastard son. He was the son that Kyriakos, my brother, and the other family members, that my father didn't want to acknowledge, because he was the son from another mother. And I always believed that he was kind of like the Jon Snow. If you watch Game of Thrones, he was the Jon Snow of the family. So he had always been denied, even as a kid growing up. This is for me. No, it was never in the story. But I believe that the one person that meant the most to him would be his mother, because she would affirm for him from a young age, don't ever forget, you are a Kyriakos, no matter whatever anybody says. So I believe that in his life, once he invited the family into his life and was open to them being a part of it and wanting to have that experience, that Maggie was becoming that for him, what his mother was for him. But, you know, it's hard because they lost sight of that, of the characters, the romanticism of him, the depth of the character. And that was really sad to see. That was sad. So, but that, what are you going to do? That happens sometimes. What are you going to do?
Right. Well, and also sadly, we know through the news, Soap Opera Digest and stuff, that the character of Deimos is going to be off the canvas. So can you tell us anything about future projects that you're involved with, if you're at liberty to say anything?
Well, I've had several auditions over the last couple of months. I had two yesterday that went really well. You know, I've had, really good responses from things. So we're still waiting to find out about some. And so, that's basically it right now. Honestly, I'd be surprised if I didn't get one of them that I went up for yesterday, because they both went really well. But you never know. I mean, I've been surprised before, so you never know. This is a tough one. but I'm happy,
right.
though. I feel really in the groove with the auditions. I feel great. I've been feeling really good about myself, my work that I'm putting out there. And so it's exciting, you know, and wait to see what happens. And there's always a possibility. Maybe I'll get fortunate enough to get another job on another show. You know, you never know. I've been in this medium for many years and worked with some really wonderful people in front of the camera and behind the camera. So you just never know. So we'll see. Everybody has been so supportive of my work, and especially when the news came out about me leaving the show, it was just very touching. I was very moved by it. And I'm just so grateful to everybody for their support. Everybody's been so wonderful. And it was a shame for me, because I saw so much potential in Deimos, and I likened the character, the potential in the character, to even like my character Lujak on Guiding Light, and also David Hayward on All My Children. They were great substantive characters, you know, and I just loved playing them. And I really did love playing Deimos, and it was sad. I was truly saddened by that I was leaving the show, and I was saddened by the course that the character had taken as well. because of that, you know, because of the things that we had already discussed. And it is what it is, you know. It's sort of like mourning the character, you know. And I still am saddened by it because I loved it. It's rare that you get to go to a job where you truly love working with everybody that you're working with, and that's the environment that it was there for me. So it was very special. So, but I'm grateful to all the fans for their support. They've been fantastic, and I will be forever grateful to them. I just want everybody to know that. So thank you.
Coming up next in this Daytime Emmy nomination series will be interviews with Gina Tognoni and Stacey Heiduk from The Young and the Restless and Kate Manzi from Days of Our Lives. The Daytime Emmy ceremony will take place on April 30th at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium in Los Angeles. To find out about all future Outtakes shows, visit my website at outtakesinterviews.com. Follow me on Twitter as Laurie's Outtakes. Like my Facebook page on Outtakes Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, and I just recently started posting on Instagram as Outtakes Interviews, so you can find me there as well. So see you there, and until next time.